it's critical that you go get educated on the foundational elements of the tax strategies and understand them end to end.
All right, gang. Welcome back to Future Proof. Closing in on 200 episodes. Man, we're getting close. This is episode number 195. I'm your host, Bill Sheridan. Glad you're here. Glad to be here. We got another great show for you this week, and we're going to get to it in just a minute. First, though, let's start with this. This is a reminder that this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, and we actually like to think of these folks as partners. They are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners, they do way more than that, right? They're doing things that we believe can help you all become a little bit more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And help, really the key word there is help. They truly, truly do want to help. So please reach out to them, find out more about what they do and how they can help you, because they can, right? And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's macpa.org/showcase. So we're talking about advisory today, and really, why not, right? It's on everybody's mind these days. How do we start offering more value-added advisory services? What services should we be thinking about? What technology do we need to make it happen? How do we price those services? How do we market them? How do we staff them? A lot of questions. The profession has been laser focused on CAS for a while now, and still so many questions to answer. The folks at CPA.com released the results of their most recent CAS benchmark survey not too long ago, offering a closer look at what the top performing firms are doing that sets them apart from the rest of the pack when it comes to CAS. Firms, they've reported a median growth rate of 16% just last year, and they're optimistic about continued growth, too. Survey respondents project 15% growth this year. 72% of all respondents say the growth of CAS practices will remain strong for the foreseeable future. More to the point, here's what top-performing CAS practices are doing that the rest of us maybe aren't. At this point, this is all according to that survey, the 2022 CAS benchmark survey by CPA.com and PCPS. Here we go. Number one, they've got dedicated CAS staff. Focusing team members on the CAS practice will enable them to develop into experienced CAS contributors faster and likely produce more consistent and higher quality work. So they've got some dedicated staff for CAS. Number two, they use technologies to drive efficiencies. Imagine that. And we're talking about workflow tools, data analytics, budgeting and forecasting tools. These have remained popular to help CAS practices enhance service delivery. Number three, they standardize processes. And we all should be doing this everywhere, by the way. It just makes for a more consistent and efficient work experience. But especially when it comes to CAS, they standardize those processes. Standardization enables team members to serve multiple clients without having to learn or employ new tools or procedures for each one. Number four, they raise fees to reflect the value provided. Pricing strategies should reflect the added value, demand for services, and scarcity of resources delivered through CAS. Make a little bit more money there. That's a good thing. Number five, they explore creative staffing and capacity building measures. These folks explore offshoring, outsourcing, contract workers, non-accounting graduates, administratively minded service coordinators, and more, to address staffing shortages and bring new capabilities into the practice. And number six, they educate clients and staff on CAS and the value provided. Almost 70% of survey respondents reported misconceptions about CAS practice value as a top hurdle for growth. And 36% say staff don't understand the value of CAS or confuse it with bookkeeping. So that educational is critical to success. Again, interesting results from the 2022 CAS benchmark survey from CPA.com and PCPS. And as my guest this week might agree, they also are probably expanding their CAS offerings into new areas like tax, which you might not necessarily think of when you think of CAS, right? But it should be, you ought to be thinking about it because there's a lot of opportunity here. And here to explain why is my guest this week. He is Jason Stein. Jason is the tax and accounting education leader at Intuit. He's been in the tax and accounting industry, for more than two decades now. He's just one of those guys that you turn to. He's a thought leader, author, speaker on current and future trends in the profession, and he's a podcaster in his own right. He hosts Intuit's Account Trends podcast, and it's a good one, folks. You ought to be listening to that too, so check that out. But Jason and I sat down recently and took a deep dive into what tax advisory really looks like. What types of services are most in demand in this area, the types of clients that we should be looking for, you know, what pricing looks like for tax advisory, and some possible first steps for folks who want to go exploring a little bit in this area. So another great talk this week with, it's just about a rapidly growing section of the client accounting services pipeline, and one that we all ought to be paying a little bit more attention to, I think, going forward. Here is my conversation with Jason Stein. Jason, thanks for joining me today. And as it happens, it's tax day. You and I are talking here on tax day. So tax season wrapping up for all of our members anyway. And so kind of apropos that we're talking tax a little bit, not necessarily, you know, tax returns or compliance or anything like that, but going in a little bit of a different direction here. So we hear an awful lot these days about that blanket umbrella term, client accounting services, right? And I was hoping you and I could kind of sharpen the focus a bit and talk about tax advisory today. And let's start just by defining our terms. This goes beyond mere tax planning, right? I mean, what do you mean when you say tax advisory? What comes to mind for you?
Yeah. So first of all, honored to be here with you, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show. And perfect point. I don't even think that I thought about it when we were scheduling this, that it was deadline day. and how poignant, because the firms that I come across that are like successful, established, well-oiled firms, mm-hmm. deadline day is no big deal to them. Right. Like they're like, if we're busy on deadline day, we've done something wrong. Yeah. And I think that's really an inspiring place to start as we think about this advisory space. We've been throwing this word advisory around for 20 years, more than I'm sure Ron Baker's been talking about value pricing since the 80s, you know? Mm-hmm. This is not new, but it's still somehow in our profession, this big nebulous term. And everybody's like, yeah, I get it. I'd like to be like one of those firms that doesn't have much to do on deadline day. That'd be great. I'd love to have clients for $10,000 a month. By the way, I just talked to somebody last week or so that signed a client on for $40,000 a month on advisory services.
Wow.
I was blown away. This is real stuff that's happening in the firms that are leaning into this, you know, they're doing well and they're happier and they're working less hours and they're making more money and it's just good for the clients and it's all around beneficial. And so having a sharper focus on it, I think, is really a poignant question to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so when we define advisory services, right, generally, we talk about, and tell me, you know, if you agree or disagree, because everybody does seem to have a different opinion, right?
Right, right.
But the way I think about it, let's just go from that perspective. Me and probably several folks at Intuit, we think about it as specific services that are relationship focused, that have the pricing structure attached to a year-round engagement where you're regularly meeting with clients and using data insights and knowing what's important to the client to guide them, to help them achieve their dreams and goals. That's the biggest, simplest form, right?
Right.
Then there's lots of slivers to that. There's wealth advisory. There's, retirement planning. There's, you know, all the things under the advisory umbrella, a multitude of different kinds of services you can have. One of those, especially for tax pros who are good with the compliance work, can really easily start offering advisory services by focusing in on tax advisory. Now, tax advisory, as we define it at Intuit, is not tax planning, although those words tend to get used interchangeably. Even, you know, Dominique Molina is president of the AICTP. She talks about tax advisory, but she calls it planning. And it's really advisory, in my opinion. So planning is projecting the tax liability. Here's your estimated payments. Here's what you can expect to do. There might be some what if scenarios that go into that. It's usually a one time engagement, or it's even part of the tax prep. Mm-hmm. And half the time, you know, I see a lot of pros giving that away for free, which is just a horrible mistake, right? It's the opposite of the way we should be working. Right. We should be focusing on that as the most valuable part. And then they won't fight with you over the tax prep bill because they don't care about the tax return. It's just a report that they're required to put it, you know, put into the system. Exactly. And so the last thing I'll say about tax advisory, so it's planning on steroids is the way I think I've heard other people say it. It's taking that to the next step. It's identifying specific tax strategies that your clients can take advantage of, presenting those to them with a fee attached to it. Say, we're going to do this. We're going to help you along on this to get these tax savings. And here's what your ROI is going to look like. And when done right, it works really well. And the clients respond to it really well.
Yeah.
And they actually implement the advice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what kind of services or advice are we talking about here? Or does it, you know, is it very much an individual type of discussion that we're having, depending on the client? But you know, just as an example, what kind of things might we be looking at in a tax advisory kind of setup?
Sure. And I'm not an expert in the tax strategies themselves. But there are a lot of people that are, and we're producing a lot of, you know, there's tons of training content out there. We're also producing a lot to help bring clarity to those. But it's, I mean, it's things like, and I laugh because I'm thinking about TikTok, because that's kind of the big sticking point with tax advisory right now, is you've got some TikTok influencers starting to kind of surface up, and they're giving wrong advice.
I've read that. Yeah, that's crazy.
And some of them are giving awesome advice, which, you know, unfortunately, the ones that aren't there are, or they don't give complete advice, or they don't help with the watch outs, right? Is what I call them. The, you know, entity selection is a perfect example, right? You look at entity selection in service to how should the taxes work for this particular list. Let's say you're running a partnership or an LLC, and you want to move that into an S corp. You got to meet the reasonable comp requirements for that. Well, if you forget that part and advise your client to switch to an S corp without going and evaluating and making sure that's all tucked in tight, you're going to get your client and yourself in quite a bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. And so it is important that we don't just look at this as in a light way. It's critical that you go get educated on the foundational elements of the tax strategies and understand them end to end, beyond all the stuff that we talk about with building a business model around it, right? Like, that part's hard too. But it's being done. It can be done. But I would argue it's actually the easier part, because getting the technical training, I think, is most critical first.
Sure. Yeah, that foundational stuff is ultra important. What kind of clients? I mean, we're not talking about your traditional, you know, transactional clients here, are we? Or are we? I mean, who should we be targeting with this type of work?
Yeah, no, small business and high net worth professionals. That's your standard W-2 type of tax return, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of work. My advice to firms is you need to create capacity in your firm and create space for innovation, so that you can lean into these advisory services. You should be automating those types of clients as much as possible. And even your small business clients, the tax prep in general, you really want to be focusing on automation. You know, you got QBO clients, they'll import right into the tax return very easily. You know, that's one example. Of course, I'm from Intuit, so I'm going to, you know, I'm not plugging QBO shamelessly. I'm just saying, like, these are the things that we're thinking about when we create our software solutions, is get the tax return done with as little work as possible, so that you could spend the time and the energy of the firm focusing on cultivating the relationships and digging into the strategies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, creating that capacity, I mean, you know, tax prep, compliance work, that doesn't just disappear. How do we start to build some of that capacity so that, you know, so that we can offer both of those things? I'm guessing that the technology kind of plays a role in all that, but where do we begin with that?
Yeah, well, technology is definitely a huge part of it. I think that some of it too is mindset. I think people tend to expect technology to be perfect. And when it's not, it's super frustrating. And it's easy as humans because we're talking about an inanimate object, essentially. And so when you revert back to people-reliant processes, like I know firms that are still passing around folders with sticky notes on them, you know, like that's not going to help you, right? We gotta embrace the technology. Know that it's not going to be perfect, but it will ultimately, once it's all set in place, save a bunch of time. And, you know, I mentioned, like, I can give you the perspective, like how we're thinking about it. You know, we have our ProConnect tax product. You got all of your QBO clients, regardless of whatever tax solution you might be using, right? I tell people, look, just use ProConnect Tax with your QBO clients because we've got that seamless integration. You click a button and that tax return's nearly done. Mm-hmm. And then you've saved yourself hours of work.
Yeah.
And then embracing like practice management technologies and engagement technologies that can speed that along. And then the other thing too that I'll talk about from a mindset perspective is I run into a lot of people who are afraid to tell their clients to have a process, a standardized, scalable process, and tell their clients, you're going to follow this process. Mm-hmm. You know, and I use the restaurant analogy, which is, I know it dumbs it down a little bit too much, but it really simplifies the thinking behind that, right? You don't walk into a restaurant and see the sign that says, please wait to be seated, and then go sit wherever you want. Right. And you don't open the menu and say, well, I want a steak, but I don't see it on the menu. Why don't you pop over to Costco and grab me one? They're like, no, we're not going to do that. Because it's not because they don't want you to have what you want. It's that they have a business and a structure and a process they've set up mm-hmm. to serve each and every one of their clients the best possible way that they can. Mm-hmm. And if you try to do that in a restaurant, they're going to tell you, sorry, no, this is what we do. Why shouldn't it be any different for our firms? We need to set up standardized workflows. Tell the clients, you know, if you've got a bunch of clients using different versions of QuickBooks Desktop, that's a huge complaint I have, right? Mm-hmm. Or I hear, stop. Just right. Tell them, we're going to go to QuickBooks Online or we're going to go hosted or whatever your preferred workflow solution is and make them follow that process. And you'd be surprised. Like people are really afraid that they're going to, they're going to fire me or they're going to like me. Well, who cares if they don't like you? That's not the point. Right. In fact, you should be making them a little bit uncomfortable. You should be making them think about things that they might be missing out on. And in order to do that with them and have a productive, fruitful relationship, we've got to follow these processes. And then here's the conversations we're going to have. And you're ultimately going to be more successful as a result of working with me. And that's how we should be thinking about this.
Yeah, that's a really great point. You mentioned Ron Baker earlier, but let's talk about pricing mm-hmm. for a couple of minutes here. What does it look like for tax advisory? These are obviously, you know, much higher value services we're talking about. How does one go about starting to determine their value and setting a price?
Yeah. So the determining of the value part, let's come back around to that, because that one I think is the harder nut to crack and is a sticking point for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the type of model, our studies and observations show firms that use subscription-based pricing models are the most successful in this space. Now, mm-hmm. you don't have to do it that way, but I strongly recommend you should. But I know of other firms that will just they'll just call it a flat fee. And it's probably pretty similar to what they charge in a subscription model. They just say, here, it's a one-time fee. You can pay it now, but it's upfront. And then, you know, some people just want to still do it on their hourly engagement. And my message to them is, you know what, just then do that. Because if that's what you can do to get going in that direction, mm-hmm. okay, you're making progress. This is not like a, you go behind a curtain, create a whole transformation, you know, and completely overhaul your firm and then come back out and say, this is our new firm. This is a journey and start somewhere, right? So if it means you need to start with, right, take baby steps. If you got to start with hourly, start with hourly.
Yeah.
But keep your eye on the prize and keep learning how to implement the subscription models and the value-based billing models. And Ron Baker's huge on subscription. His new book, I think, is all about that, right? Value Pricing 2.0. You're welcome, Ron, by the way, if you're listening.
He didn't even get paid for that.
So. I didn't. I totally didn't get paid for that. But I think Ron is highly intelligent and really well-educated on this subject. And he brings our profession the perspective of what all the other industries are doing too, right? And right. I mean, we look at all of the stuff that we do. It's all on subscriptions and Netflix and, you know, everything's on subscriptions. We as consumers are accustomed to that pricing model.
Right.
There's no reason why we can't do it the same way in our tax and bookkeeping and advisory firms.
You seeing more of that?
Starting to.
Yeah.
I think the big thing though is people don't know what to charge.
Right.
And so then it's like, well, what's my value? Well, let's start with tax advisory. That's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to save $20,000 in taxes this year by spending $5,000 to do these things. And my fee is $2,000 for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've still made $13,000, right? Did I math that correctly?
25 to yes.
I believe. Yes.
And I'm not even a CPA. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. That's often the hardest part of the whole deal is determining what that value actually looks like.
And I think what people even struggle with most is we've been doing it for so long, putting the value on our time. It's so hard to think about it from a, because you got to turn that on its head. You got to completely throw that out. Honestly, I know I said, you know, if you need to use hourly, use it and start with that. But in order to get to the place where you're going to truly be getting paid for your value, you know, electricians understand this,
right?
Right. Any electrician, master electrician, everybody knows is expensive. And I mean, they've earned that right because they have gone and done the schooling. They can. I'm doing renovations at my new house that I've got in Washington, and my renovation or my electrician and I were talking about this. And I asked him to do something. It took him 5 minutes. He didn't cut the power. He's like switching out wires, and I'm like, dude. And he's like, I've been doing this a long time. I know what I'm doing? I'm like, all right. Well, don't die in my house,
right?
And, you know, he had it banged out. And I'm like, you being able to do that was not 5 minutes of your time. That was years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the schooling and education that you invested in yourself, that was working and practicing in your craft for all this time. By the way, he's not very old. He's in his late 20s, I want to say, maybe early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So young guy, you know, and he gets it. He's like, yeah, that I charge for that. I don't charge for the 5 minutes of time it took me to do something.
Exactly.
And accountants are exactly the same, right? And so just shifting our mindset to understand that our value is worth, that our value doesn't mean what our time is worth.
Right.
Our value is what we bring to the table holistically.
Well, my wife and I have our running motto when it comes to things like home improvements or work around the house is, you know, pay a professional to do a professional's job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that kind of applies here. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the beginning here. I mean, you know, for someone who's interested in going down this road, what are some logical first steps just off the top of your head? I mean, where do we begin in building this type of business?
I think if you're serious about it, go join just like you just talked about, Bill. There are professional organizations that teach people end to end how to do this. I mentioned Dominique before. She's got an awesome organization with AICTP. There's a few others. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But you know, and invest the money, because it's not. It, depending on your perspective of what expensive or cheap is, but you know, like her credential program is it's an investment of dollar. I don't know the exact price. Her non-credential program is a little less expensive, but it's all online. Her credential one, they do an in-person event, and you know, if you really want to immerse yourself and you're really serious about implementing all the things that you've heard about beyond just what I've talked about, because other people are talking about these things too, go join one of those programs. That's going to be your best approach to truly and effectively implement these services. Now, if you're not ready for that, then what I tell everybody, and I've done a lot of research and interviews with, you know, pros out there who are our customers and who are not our customers. And the number one thing that became very apparent to me as of late is that those that are successfully doing tax advisory, they understand those tax strategies foundationally very well. Mm-hmm. And that's what they focus on in the conversations, you know, when we talk about it. The ones that are not sure where to start, they keep hearing about the business model stuff. They keep hearing about how much more profitable you could be, how you could have, you know, be less busy and still, you know, serve your clients well. It's easy to get distracted by all that stuff. But first, go get the technical training. And, you know, we have a product. I'm not trying to plug our products, Bill, I promise. But it's a point of reference. We have a product called Intuit Tax Advisor. We launched it in fall of last year. ProConnect Tax works with that product. And what I tell people is just grab one QBO client, put it into ProConnect Tax, and then drop it into our Intuit Tax Advisor product. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't do anything with that, it gets you into the product to get you to see the strategies. Forgive me.
That's fine.
It gets you into the product so you can start seeing the strategies. Well, and you'll see how we'll suggest strategies too. But we've got about 30 or 40 in there now. We're working fervently to build out more. I got a lot more. Mm-hmm. But we've got a good starting point there. And what I tell people is you've never heard anything like this stuff. You're not familiar with those strategies. Go there and then you'll at least just see what are the strategies that you could be advising on. And then go Google them and get some education. Go look them up on, you know, in the IRS, you know, publications. Go seek out training, but watch out for the misinformation and don't just rely on a single source for your education. Go take webinars, you know, CPA Academy's got a million webinars. We've got a million webinars. Lots of different organizations are offering tax strategy content on our website, too. We're going to be launching some content here pretty soon on ProConnect.intuit.com that starts at the process of us releasing training that helps educate people deeply on these strategies. And there's a certain kind of framework that we're following that I think is important to note. You've got to understand what the strategy is first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to understand which of your clients that could apply to. You've got to know the math. You've got to be able to map out, here's the tax savings and here's the ROI. That's the part that a lot of people leave out is the ROI. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to know the watchouts, like I've talked about. You know, don't go advising somebody to do convert to an S corp and not think about reasonable comp. But you wouldn't know to do that if you didn't go get the education on those strategies.
Right.
And that's going to be just a thing that you do from now on because there's so many strategies. You just got to keep educating yourself more and more and more and more.
It's just like everybody else in the world, right? I mean, it's nonstop learning. That's where we're at today. I'm wondering, Jason, how much of this just boils down to communication? I mean, you know, being able to sit down with a client and ask them better questions about where they want to take their business or what do they want to accomplish? You know, just digging a little bit deeper and having an honest business sit down and asking questions and learning to listen. It seems like, you know, asking better questions will produce better answers and inform us about where we ought to be helping them take their businesses.
Yeah, Bill, that's perfect and brilliant. And you're exactly right. And we're so used to, you know, this transactional mindset. We ask questions like, did you have a baby this year? Did you move? Did you, you know, all those questions are in service to the compliance work. And that gives us a little bit. And then, you know, we might even use that to, you know, build the relationship. Oh, you had it. Let me see pictures of the new baby. And, you know, you use that to kind of, you know, have a relationship that's more than just the transaction that you're having, but it's still not enough. Mm-hmm. But it's great if you're at least doing that, because then it's a little easier to move into the next step, which is, you can start with those questions. Then you know, did you start a business here? Oh, you did. Oh, well, let's talk about that. What mm-hmm. do you hope to achieve with that? What is your big vision? What are your big goals? Well, you don't have any. What do you need help establishing that stuff? Do you know what's critical? Businesses will fail within the first, 3 years if they don't have a clear business plan. And by the way, the far more successful, I think our studies show 5x more successful when they're connected to an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move into a conversation around, okay, here's what we're going to do. And maybe it's not a new business, right? Maybe it's, hey, we haven't talked about your business in quite some time beyond just the transactions. Let's have a conversation about your goals and dreams and what that looks like. And then you go back and you bring them, a proposal. Here's what we do with clients like yours. Our goal is to help make sure that you're not just not going to jail. That's priority number one, obviously. We're not going to, right. But it's so much more than that. And you're really not taking advantage of what our firm can bring to the table if you're not engaging with us on a more frequent, ongoing basis. And so we're going to do quarterly meetings. We're going to have these elements involved in that. We're going to talk about your business financials. We're going to use the data. We're going to compare you to other businesses like yours, bring advice to the table. We're going to talk about your cash flow. We're going to talk about all the things that, that are necessary for business growth. We all know what those things are, right?
Right.
We just don't have conversations about them. We have conversations with each other about them, but not with the clients in a meaningful way that's structured around the subscription. So then you kind of bring that all together with, here's that package. We can offer you, usually if you're going to do subscription, you do 3 packages.
Mm-hmm.
And you're what you're doing is it's price psychology, where you anchor on a really heavy price, like you whatever, the $40,000 a month, right? And that's all these things that you're going to get. And then your middle of the road package is the one that you should price that you get the most profit to value.
Kind of like best bang for your buck, yeah.
The best bang for your buck as an accountant, right? As the provider of these services. Because people are going to look at your big package and you'll get about maybe 5% sign up for that one. The majority will sign up for this middle of the road package.
For that middle one, that's right.
Because you've anchored on low and high. And then you have a real, real simple one that's still profitable. And that's your lower end package. You'll have about 10%, 12% of people take advantage of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting how all the psychology that goes into stuff like that. Yeah. Those conversations are just, I was talking with a partner at a firm not too long ago, and he said he sat down with a client and asked him, I think the question was something along the lines of, well, where do you see your business 5-10 years down the road? I mean, what, tell me a little bit about where you want to go as a business owner. And they started this conversation about the future. And he said that this was a potential client that he was interviewing, wasn't working with them yet. And he said that potential client hired that firm on the spot. And the partner was kind of stunned for a second. And then, well, let me ask you, why did you make that decision? And he said, no one has ever asked me that question before. No one's ever sat down and had a conversation with me about what's to come. It's all about, compliance and checking the boxes and all that stuff. No one's ever stopped and asked me that question. And it sounds like that's what we're doing here is just having a deeper conversation about, what's valuable to that business and what's going to be down the road.
Right. Right. You're dead on right, Bill. And when we talk to consumers, that's the same thing they tell us. There's like, I'm going to guess at a number. It's in the 70-80% range of clients that say that they would take advantage of advisory services if offered mm-hmm. by their accountant. And most of the problem is that accountants just simply aren't even offering it.
Right.
You'd be surprised at how many are wanting that, even if they don't say it, even if they don't say, are you doing advisory? Like, they may not think to ask that question. But to your story, which is a brilliant example of exactly the right place to start, they're starving for this stuff. And just asking the question, you will help you secure the clients, and they know that it's valuable. And so you don't have to be too afraid of how your pricing works. It's a lot of the pricing part is like, oh, I don't want to lose clients because then, you know, I'm going to price them out. Well, you might price some out.
Right.
But you'll be surprised at how many will say, it's about time. I've been wondering when you were going to start charging me more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the other thing, is if it's done right and you're offering the right stuff, they will pay for it because it is value. Absolutely. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, I know you said earlier you didn't want this to be a sales pitch, but I am going to ask you. I mean, what is Intuit doing to kind of help firms as they travel down this road? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, and I've talked a bit about some of those things. You know, we're basically as an organization within our professional tax division, which is where I sit. I always tell people we're in a relentless pursuit to help the industry embrace tax advisory. And sure, you know, that helps us sell our products too. I'm not going to pretend like that's not a thing that's important to the company. But one of the things that I've always, you know, I've been with Intuit for nearly 25 years. And one of the things that keeps me at Intuit and makes it so difficult for me to even look at other options is the culture and the stuff that when we say something's important and when we put that to light, we bring that to light. And we've been investing in education for a long time. It is the hallmark of our profession. And, you know, that's what my whole role is focused on. And we're investing heavily right now in developing partnerships and developing content, all for free. The only time we consider charging, and don't hold me to this, but because it could change, but typically the only time we charge is if we hold an in-person event, and that's only because we need, you know, like, help cover the costs and not have really high attrition rates. All of our virtual training is going to be available for free. We have a virtual conference coming in May. Webinars, launching video content, self-paced training courses, the works, all in service to helping people get their arms around this stuff. And we feel like we've learned a lot over the last 6 months about what exactly we need to bring to the table. We've been talking about this concept and advisory as a whole in these sort of disparate pockets of training, a webinar here and there, a conference here and there, whatever that may look like. I think, you know, with the structure that I've talked about, with gaining that strong technical knowledge around the strategies, and then simultaneously dovetail, if you will, the business model education, that's going to give you everything that you need. And then, like I mentioned, you know, if you've got QuickBooks Online clients, try them out in our ProConnect Tax Online products. You can see the automation, so you can see how that integration works. And then you can bring them into our Intuit Tax Advisor product, which you can get 3 free credits, by the way. So it's not even costing you anything. You don't have to pay for anything to do what I'm saying. And then get in there and start looking at those strategies and seeing how that product works. And by the time you get there and you've got the business model education and you've got the foundational understanding of the strategies, it's all going to come together really nicely. But there's, you know, there are other solutions, but this is a massive, massive focus for us. It's the number one priority for our business right now.
Fantastic. Wow. A lot going on there. Where can listeners find out more, Jason? Where should they go?
ProConnect.intuit.com. And if you hover over the products, you can see the information about the Intuit Tax Advisor product. We're getting ready to launch some new web pages around that to help people even more. So be sure to check back, you know, if every couple of months or so, because we're probably producing new content. Yeah. And then you can also hover over the training and education section and get access to all of our free webinars, professional and product focused, along with tons of other stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic. Jason Stein, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. Thanks for all you guys are doing there at Intuit on behalf of the profession. And I just appreciate you being here and all the insights you offer. Thank you.
Pleasure and an honor, Bill. Thank you. And I really enjoyed the conversation as well. I think a lot of the points that you made, spot on. Yeah, we're thinking about this in the right ways as a profession moving forward. So I have a lot of hope for the future.
Fantastic. Thanks again. Okay, great talk there with Jason Stein. Jason is the tax and accounting education leader at Intuit. You can learn about all of this and more by visiting Intuit's ProConnect website. That's proconnect.intuit.com. And also be sure to check out Account Trends. That's Jason's podcast. You'll find it at proconnect.intuit.com/podcast. Really good stuff there. You want to check that out. And don't forget, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you all become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world. And you'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website at macpa.org/showcase. And that's all I got, gang. Thanks for being here. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.